This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead him, and whoever Allah causes to go astray, there's no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, his worshiper, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companion and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. And O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb, who created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from the two of them he spread forth many men and women. Be careful of your duty to Allah, whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial, and He will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. For indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters, which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take advantage of five before five. Your youth before old age, your health before sickness, your wealth before poverty, your free time before your busyness, and your life before death. And this is, again, a Sahih Hadith, and there's so much wisdom in this particular Hadith. Just take advantage of five before five, because when we look at our youth, it's important for you to value your youth before it's too late, specifically for those people who don't have gray in their beards in this room today, or gray in their hair. Take advantage of your youth. What's the old saying, that youth is wasted on the young? You want to prepare for the winter of your life. And for those of us who grew up, I grew up in the city, and we have to ask ourselves, those of us in 60 and above, what would you tell your 16 or 18 year old self based on the knowledge that you have today? What would you tell your 16 or 18 year old self? So it's important for the young people to really talk to the elders so that you don't make the same mistakes that we made, or make the bad decisions. I don't like using the word mistake even. I call it decisions. We make decisions, and we have to own the decisions that we make. And so we want to make the best decisions. So that's the importance of the elders, to be able to guide and mentor the youth so that they don't make the same decisions, so they don't have to deal with incarcerations and death. Because at one point in my life in this city, I didn't think I was going to make it to 21. Allah has given me 68 years on the planet. And many in this room felt the same way when we were walking these streets of Chester. But Allah gave us, you know, 5 and 6 decades. And so if Allah gives you time on the planet, what are you going to do with it? I'm the only male in my family to make it to 30. I had two brothers that died before 30. And for every day past, you know, 30 is a blessing for me. So we have to look at, you know, again, what are we going to do with the youth? What are we going to do? And the youth need to stand on our shoulders. Stand on our shoulders. Alhamdulillah, Allah has allowed many masajids to be placed in this country. When we were coming into Islam, you know, I remember brothers used to have to go to Philadelphia just to go make salat at a mosque because there were no masjids here. You know, and so Allah has given masjids all over the country. In my city of Atlanta, when I first came to Atlanta, there were 4 or 5 masajids there. Now they have well over 100 there. Well over 100. What are we doing? What are we doing with our youth? We have to be able to do that. And again, we have to be able to not only take care of our youth, but also the health. The Prophet talked about, you know, again, taking care of your health before sickness. Five before five, taking care of your health before sickness. I remember talking to Imam Asim, Rahimullah, and he said that many of us already have what we're going to die from. You know, and so, but during these foundation years, based on what you do, if you're exercising and working out and taking care of yourself and eating the right foods and not engaging in all sorts of the vices that are around, that are traps of the shaitan. And so we have to be able to, again, remember that Allah may give you old age. Do you want to be sitting somewhere on the corner drooling? Or do you want to be, I just left my 97-year-old aunt, and she's sharp. She's sharp. I said, you know, I hope Allah give me just a little bit what you have at that age. But I've seen people in their 50s. I work in the medical field. I've seen people in their 50s dealing with almost something like senility and lost their minds because they're drinking and they're smoking and they're using all sorts of drugs. So the decisions that we make in our youth can impact us later. We have to optimize our health. You know, what exercise regimen do you have in place? That needs to be something regular. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he would take care of himself, engaging in wrestling and sports and archery, racing. So we have to, you know, not just follow the example just in dress, but we have to look at the holistic lifestyle that he imparted to us. And not just, you know, basically be of those who are just looking the part of Muslim. We have to basically internalize Islamic lifestyle. And it's comprehensive. It's, again, from the salam to the birth, you know, the adhan for the birth unto the salam of death in the janazah salat. And when we're born, we hear the adhan in our ears. And so in between that, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? You know, we have to have, you know, a sense of, you know, if we get longevity, we want to be in good shape. We want to be good shape. We don't just want to be sitting around. You know, what we do today is going to basically impact who we are and how we will be in tomorrow, in the winter of our life. You know, we have to, again, give up the vices, increasing the exercise and basically, you know, getting away from toxic relationships, toxic people. You know, it is saying that from the Prophet, peace be upon him, is that all we take to the grave is our deeds in the prayers of our offsprings, our deeds in the prayers of our offsprings. So if we are marrying, that's for the brothers and sisters, let's marry well. You know, we'll hear people say, well, you know, I'm getting married, it's half my deen. You don't drive half a car, it's half your deen. What are you doing with the other half? You have to basically get ready for marriage. And as the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to say, if you're not ready for marriage, just fast. Just fast. And so in the communities, you have people who are married in double digits. And that's not healthy. But and then it impacts the children, because I tell people all the time, how you participate in a marriage can impact not only your children, but it can impact your grandchildren and possibly your great-grandchildren. If you are in abusive relationships, toxic relationships, it can impact how the children will be functioning. And many times, the way parents participated in the relationships, it ran children away from Islam. All we take to the grave is our deeds and the prayers of our offspring, not our mates, not our wives, not our husbands, our deeds and the prayers of our offsprings. And so, if we marry, we want to marry well. We want to have relationships, not be on a relationship, just floating from relationship or marriage to marriage. So it's important for us to prepare for marriage, young people and old people. If you're in marriage, try to make it healthy. You know, I don't believe in staying together for children. I don't teach, I'm a counselor. I teach in premarital counseling as well as marital counseling and postmarital counseling. I said, have a healthy divorce. Co-parent your children. And then move on, because it's, you know, you have people, again, they will be in marriage and say, well, we'll stand together for the children. And again, the children are upstairs praying that, oh, they need to get divorced. Go and be with someone that you're happy and healthy with, and then co-parent your children. So we have to, you basically do that, and again, and in recognition, you know, of the fact that all we take to the grave is our deeds and the prayers of our offsprings. You know, we have to work on being forgiving and seeking forgiveness. You know, we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a lot of times we hold resentments for years. We hold grudges for years. And so we want forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't give forgiveness towards each other. And forgiveness is like, for instance, once you forgive, I don't believe in forgiving and forgetting, it's forgiving and remembering. You take yourself out of striking distance. You don't allow yourself, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim is one who does not get bit from the same hole twice. So you don't set yourself up, you know, for any type of drama or trauma. You can forgive and move on. You don't need to stay around that person. You can forgive and move on. Free time before busyness. Free time before busyness. How are we using our time? How are we using our time? All of us have the same 168 hours in the week. All of us. And how much, if we added up our prayers, our basic prayers, just 10% of our day. Less than 10%. I'm not good at math. 10%, 25 minutes a day. At least, just your basic prayers. And if you're doing more, you're doing more. But you find people finding all sorts of excuses not to just pray. Not to basically get involved in charity and doing good and volunteering and doing basically service work throughout the community. Muslims should be at the forefront of the environmental movement, at the forefront of stopping the violence movement, at the forefront of helping the homelessness. We should be at the forefront of that. It's all encoded in the Quran. It's encoded in the Hadith. With the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, he is not of me who goes to bed with his belly full if his neighbor's belly is empty. And who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Anybody, 40 houses in every direction. That's your neighbor. So every person is a neighbor to the Muslim. And he used to check on the Yahud who used to basically harass him. But one day she didn't harass him. And it was check on her, see how she doing. She okay. That's the character of this man. He said he only came to change character, brothers and sisters. He only came to change character. It's not about just religiosity. It's not just about rituals. It's about internalizing this deen, and deen translate not to religion, it translates into way of life. Way of life. And just like shaitan flows through our system like blood, the deen should flow through our system like blood. And that will, it's like a spiritual blood transfusion when you're practicing your deen, because you get all of the shaitan out of you and you replace it with the remembrance of Allah. Because what does the Prophet ﷺ say? Everything will rust. Everything will rust. Even the heart will rust. And that which removes the rust from the heart is the remembrance of Allah. So we have to be at forefront. Muslims should be activists. Not pacifists, active and changing, and not just going to the mosque and then going home, but be involved in the overall community. Because what does he say? A Muslim should not touch a thing unless he seeks to improve it. Unless he seeks to improve it. These are some of the things that we have to look at, brothers and sisters. Free time. What are you doing with your free time? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in regards to repenting, oh, repent to Allah and seek his forgiveness. For I repent 100 times a day. 100 times a day. And he was already guaranteed Jannah. 100 times a day. How often are we repenting? How often are we remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this day? How often are we visiting the sick? How often are we helping the poor? How often are we basically correcting people who are engaging in incorrect behavior? These are some of the things that we have to remember. And this is the message I wanted to bring to my home city. And I pray that Allah allow those words to touch your heart. Because if, again, If I've said anything that is correct, this is all from Allah. And if I've said anything that is incorrect, it is from me, and may Allah forgive me. I take full responsibility for that. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك له هم وهو على كل شيء قدير. Allah send peace and blessings upon Rasulullah, his family and his companions. Allah increase his honor and elevate his station. Grant him the highest place in paradise and bless him with your divine mercy. And O Allah, bless us with his intercession on the day of judgment and forgive our sins. Ameen. Another part of the five, wealth. How are we using the resources that Allah has given us? What level of charity are we given? And you know that wealth will have a voice on the day of judgment. What will your money say? What will your money say? Wealth will have a voice. It will record what you sent forth. You know, again, on the day of judgment, you know, that wealth, there could be a mountain sitting there of good, or there could be a mountain of not so good waiting for you. And so during this time, because you have people who, you know, they will be asking Allah, oh Allah, please let me come back and so I can do some good. But, you know, we have the opportunity right now. We have to remember Allah constantly. And remembering Allah is not just sitting in the masjid. Remembering Allah is all that you, in all that you do. If you're in business, what kind of business are you in? Is the business that's helping people, or is it business that's hurting people? The Prophet also says, remember your life before death. What records do you send forth? What deeds that will be a witness for you or against you? And again, let us again be conscious of our actions. Conscious, and it's not just being paranoid, but it's about being aware that Allah is all-knowing, he's all-seeing. And so we have to recognize that, because what happens is Shaitan, his only job is to make you forget. And what does he tell you? He says, no, I didn't make them do anything. They only did what was in their hearts already. Just whispered. He just made a suggestion. He makes suggestions based on your level of iman, how much fasting are you doing? Again, how many prayers are you doing? You know, how much charity are you giving? And how much iman is in your heart? Because iman is basically, it can increase or it can decrease. You're familiar with the hadith where a person can do the work of Jannah and get the handspan, and the handspan is between the fingertips and the elbow. Handspan to Jannah and start doing the work of the hellfire, and what was written for him will overtake him, and he'll end up probably in the hellfire. And the same thing, a person who's doing the work of the hellfire and get the handspan to the hellfire and start doing the work of Jannah, and what was written for them will be overtaken them, and he'll get to Jannah. So we don't know, don't have guarantees. We're not like other people, other faiths who say, well, we're the chosen people, or this person died for me. No, we have to, again, have that belief and not commit shirk, but also put deeds in our scale so that it can weigh heavy, brothers and sisters. Whatever good reaches you is from Allah. It means it is by the grace and bounty, kindness and mercy of Allah. But whatever evil befalls you is from yourself. Means it because of what your own actions. This is, again, like the verse when it says in regards to Allah's interpretation, it says, and whatever of misfortune befalls you, it is because of what your hands have earned, and he pardons much. You know, so we have to recognize that if we have a challenge, if we have a health challenge, if we have a financial challenge or any type of personal challenge, again, a lot of that is from our own hands, again, on the decisions that we make. And so whatever good that we have, all of it is from our own hands. And so we have to ask Allah for forgiveness. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, there's no calamity that befalls a Muslim, but Allah expiates his sin thereby, even a thorn that pricks him. So if anything happens to you, it's a form of expiation when you're dealing with an illness. Again, you know, we are in an interesting situation, you know, and so hardships that we experience in this life is a way of basically getting a beautiful hereafter. We're in a win-win situation. Win-win situation. If we do good for all of our lives, we get Jannah. And if we get our sins and deeds expiated in this life, we get Jannah. You know, so what we have to do is be conscious of the message today. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, again, take advantage of five before five. Again, your youth before your old age, your health before sickness, your wealth before poverty, your time before busyness, and your life before your death. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our protector, and grant us the victory over the disbelieving people. Ikam and Father.